Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting tonight, and I just want to thank everybody for coming out, especially for the three new people. Ms. Brooke, it's a pleasure to have you. Steve, my brother, it's always a pleasure. And Jason, it's always great to have you. And sir, because I know you could have been somewhere else. You could have said, well, now I'm going to do something else, but you decided to come out, and may the Lord reward you for your faithfulness. I don't say that lightly, but may the Lord reward you for your faithfulness. For listeners that are overseas, I probably got your email, and yet I did not lose it, and I will get to it, I promise. And so I get a lot of emails, and so I try to stay ahead of those. But anyways, if I got an email from you, I will go ahead and answer it in due time. And thank you for your grace and your patience. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. And as what we do is a kind of routine, we always kind of look at what we talked about last month to point our spirit in the right direction to what we want to have tonight. And if anybody wants the teaching outline from last month and they didn't get it, I have a couple more up here on the old German radio. And so if you want that, you can go ahead and carry that home with you tonight also. Amen. So we're going to go over a number of points from last month, and then we will get into biblical elements for daily living, number 9. Amen. So last month we looked at present preparation for future purpose. Now remember, these are biblical elements for daily living. These are biblical things that we need in our life to enable our daily living in the Lord. And so last month we looked at present preparation for future purpose. And the first of the points that we looked at that were important and key was the key to future purpose is hidden in the present preparation through relationship. Okay, that was worth coming for tonight, okay? The key to future purpose is hidden in the present preparation, that's in our daily lives today, through relationships. Relationships are paramount. They are critical in our lives today. Amen? Yeah. The second point we looked at, we kind of defined a little bit, the order of a relationship. And if you are married, first it's the Lord, a relationship with the Lord. Then if you're married, you have a spouse. Your spouse is second. And then your family, and then your brothers and sisters. And that order is very, very important. You know, that we go ahead and we keep that order. Amen? Another point we looked at last month was the tendency of Christians is to seek ministry activities or work and not relationship. Wow. The tendency of most Christians is to get involved and get a ministry. I got a ministry. You got a ministry. We all want a ministry. Well, no, that's not what God is after. God is more concerned about our relationships with one another more than he is about our ability to minister. Number 4, a very, very important point. In the end, only our relationship with Jesus is what defines us right now. Our relationship right now with the Lord is what defines us right now, who we are, what we will be, and all of eternity. So our relationship with the Lord will be the factor, not how many church services we preach and how many people we won to the Lord and all of that stuff. That will not define us in the future, but what will define us in all eternity will be our relationship with the Lord. Wow, another critical point. Mm-hmm. Number 5, all godly ministry comes out of godly relationship. Wow, that's powerful. All godly ministry comes out of a godly relationship. I think that's why there's a lot of ungodly ministry out there. It's because the relationships of the people we enter into are about money and power and greed and arrogance and all that stuff. And it's not a godly relationship. Point number 6 is ministry itself is not the purpose, but a means to bring us into the fulfillment of His future purpose. Ministry is not the purpose for God in our life. Let me say that again. Ministry, doing things for God, is not the purpose, but it is a means. It's what helps bring us into the fulfillment for that future purpose that God has for us. Amen? Amen. Number 7 is God's purpose in our lives is to give us vision to Him, number 1, and 2, His ways, and to bring us to fulfillment.
Wow.
And that is, of course, Galatians 4:19, and that is, till Christ is formed in us.
Wow, what a powerful verse.
Till Christ is formed in us. So God's purpose in our lives is to give us vision to Him first, then His ways, and then to bring us into fulfillment.
Wow,
where Christ can be formed in us. Point number 8, do we know, this is kind of deep. Do we know about ourselves what the Lord knows about us, right? So we talked about the Lord knows us, He knows us all, but do we know ourselves as the Lord knows us? Well, most people don't even know themselves, but God would want to so work in our life and bring us to a place in Him, an understanding and a purpose that we know ourselves as God knows us. Wow. Remember Moses, God went ahead and, showed Moses God himself, but he could only show the people his ways. So it's easy to show God's way. We can see this, we can see that. But God wants to be able to reveal himself to us, like he did with Moses. And that is a tremendous point, and that's kind of deep, and that would take probably a little more explaining. Amen? Point number 9 is, whatsoever we are presently doing or giving through is a preparation for allowing Christ to be formed in us. So whatever we are going through in our life, whatever the good things, the bad things, whatever we are feeling, whatever we are experiencing in our life, these are present preparations for Christ to be formed in us and to be able to bring us to the end and the purpose of what He has for us. And of course, again, the purpose we know is the vision of Him, His ways, and to bring us to fulfillment.
Wow.
Number 10, it is not what we do, but what we become that matters.
Wow.
That's the gospel right there. It is not what we do for God, but what we become in God that matters. Because our focus on the future is not to be our position, but what He desires us to become. In God, it really doesn't matter what we do, Ted. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, Steve, in the Pentecostal church, I was so proud. I had medals in the military. I have all the screw salad, Ted, I'm sure you do also. But I was growing up, man, I had this little string of medals right there. I don't remember that, Miss Brooks. Anyway, perfect attendance in Sunday school. That thing started here, I'd get one and two, and I had a big, I was so proud. I'd go to church, man. I'd show my perfect attendance off, But all that stuff don't matter. It's good, and you should try to go to church and do all that stuff. But what matters really is how we do things. Jesus told the disciples, be careful how you hear, not what you hear. Do you hear with a soft heart? Do you hear with the right heart condition, Be careful how you do things and not what you do. Because the church is always over in there. I want to do this and I want to make that and I want to do this. Well, God's not too concerned about all that, but He is concerned how we do that. Matter of fact, when we stand before God as a believer, when we are the judgment seat of Christ, God is not going to ask us what we did. Our reward will not be based on how much we did. Our reward will be how we did those things, which is a very sobering part. And the last point is God will take care of our future position. He will. The eternal purpose is to know ourselves as God knows us. And that's 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. That we might have the things changed in us that needs change to come into the fulfillment of all the Lord desires for us.
Wow.
So last month was a pretty good teaching. Very, very deep at times. We'll go ahead and we'll get into the biblical element of daily living number 9. Amen. So if you have your notes, Matthew 25:21, very, very famous verse. It's also, these verses also can be found in Luke, but I selected Matthew 25:21. And his Lord said unto them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over," notice, "a few things." So the servant was faithful over a few things, "and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now notice, the master rewarded the servant not based on what he did. You know, he was the ruler and did all of these things, but he was rewarded by how he did those. And he did that by being faithful. By being faithful. So too in our life. God will reward us not by what we do. I can't say that enough. But God will reward us by how we do things. By how faithful we are. So tonight you can see that what I'd like to talk about will be the value of being faithful. The value of being faithful. Many of us have experienced the letdown of an unfulfilled promise and have felt the hurt and disappointment. We were created in the image of God and feel, image of God and feel in a limited measure as He feels. You know, sinners, we expect to let us down, right? Amen? Sinners, you know, we expect them not to keep their word and, you know, that's okay. A sinner will be a sinner. I remember my Bible teacher was on the stage and big meeting of all kind of you know, pastors and preachers and stuff like that. And this one pastor leaned forward and said, "Brother Pond, there's sinners out there." And Charles said, "Wonderful. I love sinners." But you know, we expect sinners to do things, to be a sinner, right? Not to be. But you know, when a Christian often, you know, sometimes can not do things as they say, we kind of get disappointed when our friends and our Christian friends do not do things. We get kind of really disappointed. You know, our words matter. God is listening. Let me say that again. Our words matter. God is listening. If we say we're going to do something, by Jiminy, you better do it. Because God is, He's keeping track. You know what I mean? If I say I'm going to do something, I don't. Some circles, that would be called lying. But make sure God is listening. Amen. Our words do matter. Just as we can feel disappointment, so also our Lord can be disappointed when we are not faithful to the outworking of all that He has made available to us. God is keeping track of our words and our actions. Amen? God is keeping track of our words and our actions and will reward us accordingly. In the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, that's Matthew 25:1-12, all 10 received lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. But when the Lord delayed His coming, all 10 of their lamps went out. Now all 10 of the virgins were Christians to some degree, and they all had the lamp, and all of their lamps went out. So all of their lamps went out, and the Lord had been faithful; He supplied them all with the lamp and the oil. But the foolish, so there were five foolish and five wise, but the foolish did not develop a means. In verse 3, we read that, and took no oil with them to resupply their lamps with oil. You know, God has given us everything that we need to do that which He wants us to do. I like that so much again, Jason. I'm going to say it again. God has given us everything. There's not one thing lacking that we need to do what God wants us to do. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us brothers and sisters. He's given us people that are wiser in the Lord and more experienced and more seasoned. You know, God has given us everything that we need to do that which He wants to do. Amen? Mm-hmm. The lamp represents our salvation. All 10 were saved to some degree, as I said. The oil speaks of the Lord, enabling grace and anointing, which quickens and maintains our spirit, life, and strength. When we are not faithful to maintain a personal relationship with the Lord, we use up the supply of oil that we initially was given, and soon we feel dry. I don't know about you in your life, but in my life, when I do not spend time with the Lord, not when I don't read the Bible, not when I don't pray, not when I don't listen to music, or none of that stuff, but when I do not personally spend time with the Lord, I start getting over into a dry area. Maybe that could be the way to describe it. But I know there's a difference in my spirit. And so it is critical that we learn to spend some time with the Lord. I mean, if you got through a lot of my teachers, John Wright Collette and Walter Buehler and all these guys, would just spend hours and hours just sitting before the Lord, just quiet and still, just spending time with the Lord, talking to the Lord, and it's critical. So we don't maintain that personal relationship with the Lord. We use up our supply of oil. And of course, laying before the Lord is just one way, but you know, it's very important that we maintain that personal relationship with the Lord. The only thing of importance to God that we will take to heaven is our relationship with Him. The only thing. The only thing of importance. This house, car, my sweet and beautiful wife. I mean, the only thing that's important that I will take to heaven with me will be my relationship with Him. I remember when Michael Jackson died, I was sitting in a sauna with about 15 black men. So we were sitting there, Pastor Foster was there, and Sweet Billy was there, and Mr. Gaddy and all these guys, you know, fitness center. And they were talking about Michael Jackson dying, you know. And I said, yeah, and he was a good singer and dancer. He said, yeah. And I said, well, right now, our daddy's not singing and dancing. And they said, well, yeah, you know, but a lot of these guys were Christians, you know. And I said, when Michael Jackson stood before the Lord, God didn't ask him, hey, Michael, you were a good dancer. You were a good singer, you know. God asked him, what did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? What was your relationship with my son? And that's the only thing that we can take with us to heaven is our relationship. To be faithful on our part means that we take seriously our need to fellowship with the Lord and receive from His strength. Wow. His power. Receive of His grace, His forgiveness, His mercy, His life. And of course, we cannot forget His love. Amen. Our faithfulness to God has little to do with working for Him. Again, our faithfulness to God has little to do with working for Him. Because the heart of faithfulness is knowing God. Let me say that again. You don't hear anything I want to say tonight. But the heart of faithfulness, the heart of faithfulness of God is coming to know Him. Everybody wants to live forever, have eternal life. Well, John 17:3 says, now this is life eternal. Wow. Listen now. Now this is life eternal. Knowing God. John 17:3. Life eternal is coming to know God. So the heart of faithfulness is knowing God. Wow. And notice the Lord did not say they were bad people. The Word of God does not say what happened to them, you know, in the end. However, because they took their spiritual capability for granted, those five foolish ones, thus they could not enter into the end of verse 3, because the marriage and the door was shut. Can you imagine that? I'm a Christian, and now I'm going to go into the wedding, I'm going to go into heaven, and the door closes. You can't enter into heaven. Because that's where they were headed to. The bridegroom cometh. He's going to take us to heaven. Here he comes. Oh, wait a minute. You can't go in. Wow. Well, that would be an eye-opener, wouldn't it? God's people. I mean, a good people will end up in hell. You know that? Good people will end up in hell. Only forgiven people make it to heaven. Those who come to know God. Those who spend time with Him. those who receive of His life, that Zoe life, that creative life, those who receive of His strength. Paul said that, oh, that He would strengthen me with might in the inward man, not in the outward man, but in the inward man where it counts. All others, like the foolish virgins, they could not enter in to the marriage. They could not enter in to heaven because they did not have a relationship with the Lord. That was the same way at the wedding feast. The master of the feast came in, I think it's in Matthew, and he saw somebody standing there without a wedding garment on. And the wedding garment was white, was righteousness. He wasn't saved. He was at the wedding feast and he wasn't saved. And so the master said, take him out and bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. Wow. Didn't have that relationship with the Lord. Sadly, because of certain choices the five foolish virgins made, they could not enter into the purpose and the fulfillment God has intended for their lives. God could not bring His preordained purpose and plan for their lives to a completion. Sadly, but also very true today, like the foolish virgins who could not enter in, many today will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Like the wise virgins, we too make wise choices to keep our lamps, our spirit, filled with oil. Oftentimes it is not we choose right, you know that? Oftentimes, you know, we've got to choose right, no. Oftentimes it's not that we choose right, but we choose right to spend time with the Lord so that we will be filled with His Spirit. We will be able to receive of His life and His, you know, His strength and all that good stuff. Yeah, that's good to do. But oftentimes we know wrong. We know that's wrong. That's wrong, and I shouldn't do that. And so by knowing that is wrong, I don't have to worry about choosing right. Because I know that's wrong. Because I know God, and God's Word says that's wrong, so all I got to do is not do that wrong, and then I will always, always, always be right. Wow. Enter into heaven, the kingdom of heaven is not going by working for God or having God to do great works in us. A really interesting verse in Matthew 7:22-23. Tremendous verse. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now, that is a double imperative right there. Lord, Lord. It's a double imperative. Having we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons. Wow. That sounds like the charismatic movement today, or lump in the gospels. Casting out demons and doing all of this stuff. Casting out demons. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess, this is God, that I, there is God. I was professing to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, that word iniquity is a really interesting word. And if you don't understand what's really going on there, if you understand that word iniquity, then you will understand those two verses there. That word iniquity is not bad. It's, you know, a bad person or, you know, whatever. That word iniquity means lawlessness. Means lawlessness. Or you did something outside the framework. Or you did something outside the way that it should have been done. Outside the law. And so that's what happened. These Christians, they did all of these wonderful, powerful works. But they did them outside the way that God wanted them to do it. And they did that because they did not know God. They did not have a relationship with the Lord. They did not know how He functioned. They did not know how He moved and how He operated and how He touched lives. So they just did those, but they did them outside the way that God wanted them to be done. Wow. They did the work, but God never knew them. Wow. Boy, that's strong. I don't know about you, but that gives me a concern. How about you, Ray? That gives me a concern. Lord, not me, not me. Amen? Instead of a focus of working and doing for God, we must become the work of God.
Oh, let me say that again. I like that so much.
Instead of a focus of working and doing for God, you know, the church has this work mentality. Want to do things for God, but that's not what God wants. God wants us to become the work of God. Ephesians 2:10, tremendous verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, by the way. For we are His workmanship. Now, I like that word workmanship right there, because in the German language, that's Baustelle. Baustelle. We are His Baustelle. We are His workmanship. It's not the church. It's not the building. We are the work of God. You and me. God works on us. And as He works on us, then we're able to give His love and His strength. And, you know, as He's able to work in our lives, then we'll have something to give. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, those good works are not feeding the poor, clothing, and stuff like that. Those good works, believe it or not, is God's dealings and judgments in our life.
Uh-oh. Wow. And if I was in a church tonight, Steve, it would have got really quiet. God's dealing and judgments. Those good works is not feeding the poor and doing all of the you know, philanthropy stuff. No, no, no. Those good works is God's dealing and judgments. God bringing us into narrow places. God bringing us into places where He can show us our heart. God bringing us into places where He can show us our attitudes and our motives and all of those things. Those are those good works which God has before ordained. This is the purpose of our life, that we should walk in them. God wants us to walk in His dealings and His judgments in our lives so He can bring these things into, so He can work in our life. And now from the work of God in our lives, we can feed the world the mercy He has given us. We feed His goodness, His forgiveness, His grace, and His joy. We make those choices that will allow us to be conformed into the image of His Son, dear Son, Jesus Christ, the goal of being a Christian. It's not to become rich, it's not to become handsome and, you know, pop, rich and famous and popular. No, no, no. That's not God's goal. God's goal in our lives is to conform us into the character and the image of Him. Galatians 4:19, until Christ is formed in us. Wow, be conformed into the image, character of His Son here, Jesus Christ. If not, then what we give is a lost and dead world. Well, we give them nothing. We just give them our flesh and our talents and our abilities, and we have nothing to give them. What will we share? Well, not much. No work in our lives, and we have nothing to feed the world. No work in our lives, and we have nothing to feed the world. Wow. I never, I was talking to when we go to Romania often, they always like for Karen and I, since we've been married going on 42 years, to talk to many of the families in the church, in Bethel Church, which I think is my favorite church in the world, by the way, in Constanța, Romania. But, so I hope brothers in Africa didn't hear that. But anyway, no, I have good churches in Africa too. But anyway, so they always want to talk to the families there. And we always seem to talk about love. And yes, love is very, very important. But if I only love my wife, that's not going to be enough. Because believe it or not, as beautiful as my wife is, you know, one of these days, everything north is going to go south. And her hair may not be as beautiful as it is now, and I may not be as handsome and muscular, and, well, you know, we just get old. And if it's only a love that we have for one another, well, then our marriage is not going to last. But if we allow God to work in our life, if we allow God to work patience and long-suffering and joy through His dealings and judgments in our life, when I come home from work and Karen may be kind of down or kind of sad or whatever, that if I allow God to work in my life, then I can reach into my heart and I can pull out a little bit of love. I could pull a little bit of forgiveness or whatever she might need. I might have that in my heart, and then I can feed that to her. But if I don't allow God to work in my life, then I'll never be able to do that. And so we will talk like that to these brothers and sisters in Romania, and they really like that. Now, the requirement for entering into the joy of the Lord and the kingdom of heaven, you ready? You got your notes underlying this? Is the requirements for entering into the joy of the Lord and the kingdom of heaven is faithfulness, commitment, dedication, and obedience to God. You will never, ever be able to enter into the joy of the Lord, which is His strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You'll never be able to move into His strength and His love and His mercies and all of that good stuff. Nor will you be able to go through the kingdom of heaven, because the requirement to do that is to be faithful, to be committed, to be dedicated, and to be obedient to God. By making those needed adjustments God wants us to make in our lives, allowing us to do the will of my Father. So if we don't allow God to work faithfulness and commitment and dedication and obedience in our life and come to know Him, then I don't see how we can make it to heaven. You know, even the thief on the cross came to know Jesus. Amen? Even the thief on the cross. Remember me when you go into your, to your home. Amen? John tells us that Jesus Himself said, John 14:25, Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And notice, we, that's God and the Father, will come unto him. Wow, the Father and Jesus. We. And I would include the Holy Spirit there, right? All three, the Trinity. And we, wow, will come unto him and make our abode, or enter into with him. We will go ahead and be his dwelling place. So we didn't sing that song just because it was a good song to sing. Dwelling place. My Bible teacher, Walter Buehler, said, if you build God a temple, he will dwell there. If you build God a temple, he will dwell there. And what he's talking about is not a physical temple, Ken. He's talking about us. If we let God build this temple right here, he will dwell there. He will dwell there. As with the virgins, salvation was not enough. They had to keep their lamps trimmed and burning. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of disappointed Christians come Judgment Day. Amen. We will then be able to keep such words of Jesus. That's why I like this. Mark 12:30-31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Wow. Notice that. Wow. Powerful. And which is the first commandment. And the second commandment is namely this. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. There is no commandment greater than these. You know, these two verses in Deuteronomy had to be memorized. Every Jewish person had to memorize these two verses taken from Deuteronomy, because this is the heart of Judaism there. Amen? No, we will love everybody, but we will love our neighbor. And a lot of people say, well, who is your neighbor? I have neighbors here that I've invited to the home group meeting, and he came one time. I have neighbors here that I've invited that have never come. I have neighbors here that have invited that have come. I have neighbors over that direction that used to come. So her husband said, no more. But you know who your neighbor is? Your neighbor is he who does the will of God. It's not the person that lives next to you. But your neighbor, as Jesus was talking about here, is he that does the will of God.
we will never be able to love God with all of our heart, with all of, it says all, not some, wow, it says all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, unless we allow God's dealings and judgments in our life. It's the only way we can do that. Well, God will bring us down and show us our heart. Show us who we really are. I mean, do you know who you are? We talked about that last, you know. Do you know yourself like God knows you? Well, the only reason you will, the only way you can find out who you are is when God is able to, feel like this, Jason. Here we go.
You want to see your heart? What do you think? What do you think about your heart?
Wow. It's a scary. It's a scary fight sometimes to find out who you really are. But that's the only way that, you know, God can go ahead and start working in our life, and something in there we don't like, oh God, take that out. Oh God. No, that's not me. That's not in my heart. No, I don't believe that. Well, it's there. Lord, take that out. Amen. Some party thoughts. We will never become the overcomer who finds himself seated with the five wise virgins unless we allow God to work his nature and character into our lives. Unless we develop a life that is centered around God and his plan for our life. Wow. That means turn away from the world. Turn away from ourselves and turn towards Christ. So many Christians I know are so much into the world. Now, they've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and stuff like that. But they love the world so much. They can tell you what's on TV and this program and that program and this and that. And, you know, they're just so into themselves, into the world. And, well, you know, you can't be into the world and yourself and into Christ at the same time. We have to turn away from the world. Now, let's not get out of the world, but I mean, the world should not be an important part of our life or greater than Christ is in our life. No one can give to another their commitment to spiritual obedience. We must spend quality time in the presence of the Lord. There is no substitute for the time that we spend before the Lord. None whatsoever. And most important, during the time, just the two of us, wow, just spend together. Question tonight, how much time do we spend on social media? How much time do we spend watching TV? How much time do we spend on the computer? How much time do we spend on all of these things? And then, of course, you got to ask the question, how much time do you spend with the Lord? Wow. Because it is during these times that we spend with the Lord, when we are faithful to read His Word and share our heart with Him, He will speak to us and share His heart with us. You know, there's communication, Jason, and that's talking, but God doesn't want to talk to you. Isn't that strange? He doesn't want to talk to you. He wants to commune with you. There's a difference. Talking is prayer. Talking back and forth. And if you ask Him questions, He will talk to you. He will do that. But He would rather go to the next step. He would rather go deeper. And that has communication. Have communion with you. Communion is always at the heart level. It's a heart upon heart. Communion. God wants to have communion with us more than He wants to talk with us. Amen? Yes. He will speak to us and share His heart with us. Then, we'll see the value of being faithful. And then, we can enter in to the joys of the Lord. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for this word, Father. Lord, I thank You for Your love and Your mercies, Father. Lord, thank You for this word, Lord. Take this word, Father, now and just lay it in our hearts, Father, Lord God. Measure us by this word, Father. Measure us by Your holy word, Father, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that You would work Your dealing and Your judgments, Father, Lord God. And would bring us along gently, Father, Lord God. And show us, Father, Lord God, the things that You you want us to do. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Father. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.